I remember when I was growing up, my excitement for this time of year. I remember being excited about the coming of Christmas. I remember being excited about the coming of relatives coming into town to come and visit. Both my sets of grandparents were right there in town, so a lot of times the aunts and uncles were coming into town as well. So I got really excited about seeing these people that I only got to see maybe a couple times a year, getting to see have the great food that is always with Christmas, to be able to have that excitement on Christmas morning with presents, but also with church, being able to be a part of different traditions at church and helping decorate all that, all those different things. I get so excited with that. And I hope each and every one of us can have something similar, something that we got excited about, eager anticipation about. And maybe it's not necessarily about Christmas or about any particular holiday. Maybe it's even just kind of the day-to-day things, that something that makes you happy. Like, I've been waiting for this. Maybe it's just a simple everyday thing, but something that you look forward to. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at, that anticipation about something wonderful. And so if we can get excited about a holiday, get excited about food, or seeing people that we haven't seen in a while, getting excited about different things, how more should John the Baptist than be excited about seeing Jesus? And that's what is happening in the gospel today. John is so excited that he sends his disciples to go and ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Are you him, or should we keep looking?" He wants to know. And I honestly think that John the Baptist knew that Jesus was the one. But I think he asks in order to, for the benefit of his disciples, so that they can hear the answer. Jesus tells those who came to ask him, he tells them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." Did you notice the similarity with the first reading? Prophet Isaiah tells the people to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. That is what he's talking about. He says, "Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be heard, the lame will leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will return, and will sing." Excuse me, the tongue of the mute will sing. These images of people being healed, me being made whole again. There's a reason why Jesus is saying those words. He's trying to get people to think of, hey, wait a minute, we've heard this before with Isaiah. He's saying, yes, I am the one who is to come. John the Baptist is the one to point him out to his disciples, to all of us. Because of his eager anticipation, he's ready to point him out. He's telling us to be eager as well, to rejoice at his coming. Now, one could ask, what does this mean for us? Jesus has already come. Jesus has already come. And so, what is there for us to anticipate now? But remember, there is also his second coming. Jesus came, he died, he rose again, and we believe that he will come again.
And that's what we hear in the letter of St. James, the second reading. He gives some very sage advice. He says, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord." Now remember, St. James is writing this after he has seen Jesus die, rise again, ascend into heaven. So again, he's like us. Jesus has already come and gone up to heaven. So when he says, until the coming of the Lord, he's talking about Jesus' second coming. And he uses a very neat image, talking about a farmer. And he says how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. Just as a farmer plants his crops, he has to be patient. He has to wait for those plants to come up. He has to wait for the rains. He has to wait for the plants to finally mature and the fruit to be formed, or whatever type of plant it is, whatever the root or the fruit that we are eating. We have to wait for it. To be patient. Being impatient isn't going to make the crops come any quicker. And so a very good image to remind us of that new life that comes, the planting of the new crops. You may have noticed as well in the first reading, the image of talking about a desert, but then the new bloom that comes. All sorts of flowers, different plants coming up. We can see that in different arid regions when the monsoons come. There's flowers everywhere. We can see it in our own area. Right now, everything's kind of asleep in this bleak, cold midwinter. But in the spring, doesn't new life come once more? We see many new crops, many new flowers, different things coming back to life. It's new life. We wait as well, patiently, but with eager anticipation for the coming again of Christ. We wait for that second coming. And these readings remind us, too, that we are going to rejoice when we see Christ come again, when we see that second coming, because we have eagerly anticipated, because we have been hearing about this and waiting for that time. My brothers and sisters, let us continue to await coming of our Lord. May we truly rejoice when we see him, for then our true joy, our true happiness to be with him forever will come. Then we will truly rejoice.